There was a psychologist by the name of Ruth Berinda that some years ago did a study. And she did it with teenagers. What she would do is she got several teenagers and she divided them up in groups of 10. Now here's the way it worked. Unbeknownst to one in each group, she had already worked it out with 9 of those teenagers that they were to give a specific answer to a question that she was going to ask. And what she would do is she had 3 cards that she would hold up, each with a line marked on the card. There was a short line, there was a medium length line, and there was a long line. She was going to ask the question, and all of the students were to hold up their hand, which line is the longest line? The 9 that she would talk to before, without the other one knowing, she would say, when I hold up the card with the medium length line on it, I want all of you to raise your hand. Each time when she would bring in a group of 10 students, she would hold up the cards and she would begin to go through the lines and ask them, I want you to raise your hand when I show you the card that has the longest line on it. When that line that had the medium layer, the card that had the medium length line on it was held up, 9 of the students would raise their hand. And that one lone student would look around the class and realize that's not the longest line. But because everybody else was holding up their hand, guess what that student did? She said 75% of the time, even though the one student knew that's not the longest line, 75% of the time, the oddball student would hold up their hand to fit in with everybody else. Her statement as a result of that was simply this: some people had rather be president than right. And the point is that they would rather conform to what the blowing winds are, what everyone else is doing, than to say, that's not right. That's not the way it needs to be. This is what's right. In the passage of Scripture that was just read for us a moment ago, Jim shared with us something that Paul says. And part of what Paul says is, do not be conformed to this world. Now, when we read that statement, do we read it and understand it, or do we just kind of read over it? Is it something that we think truly applies to our lives, or do we think, well, that's for everyone else because I don't conform to anyone? This morning, what we want to do is try to understand what does Paul mean when he says don't be conformed to the world, and look at how that really applies in our lives, maybe a great deal more than we understand, and then to look at what does he mean when he says be transformed. Because that's the goal, not to be conformed, but to be transformed. Let's begin, first of all, by looking at this idea, this word. He says, don't be conformed. What does he mean? Well, to conform is to conform to somebody else's pattern. In other words, it means that I have a desire to be like someone else. I want to do what they do. I want to say what they say. I want to wear what they wear. It is the idea of having the same fashions, walking the same way someone walks, talking the same way someone talks in order to be popular. I can remember years ago when my oldest son was a teenager and some of the Rocky movies were out, and you began to watch him and he would try to imitate Rocky Balboa's walk. And I always thought that was funny. I knew what he was doing, but he thought it was the end thing to do at that time, was to imitate that walk. You see, a conformist, someone that conforms, is someone that is afraid to be different. It is a person that feels a need to be like everyone else. Now, some of you who are older say, I never have done that in my life. I challenge you on that. Did you ever roll up your t-shirt when you were a teenager? Did you ever roll up the cuffs on your blue jeans because everybody else was doing it? Did you ever set your car up a certain way because that was the thing that everybody else was doing? You know, when I came around It was the end thing to put those hush thrush mufflers on your car and to put those wide 60s on the back and to get those nice wheels and rims. And that was what everybody was doing. And the guys that were cool had those kind of cars. Now, I didn't. I can tell you about my first car, and it wasn't like that. But that was the thing a lot of people did. And ladies, I dare say that if you go back through history, you will find that the hairstyles changed, didn't they? What was the common hairstyle in the 70s? What was the hairstyle in the 80s? You know, because it was the big thing to do. I see you smiling. I know that you've experienced that because some of you did it. We conform, and we don't even realize at times that we're conforming. There's a tremendous pressure in our society to conform. We conform to the standards of a group. Even adults at times have conformed. Teenagers probably more so than adult, because teenagers conform in the way they wear their clothes. Don't believe me? Just look. Go in a school and look at how many teenagers are dressed the same. May not be the exact same clothes, but the styles are the same. How they wear their clothes, it's the same. The cars they all want to drive. Just a few years ago, it was the end thing to lower that car just as low as you could get it without scraping the, and it's still that. But there's all kinds of things that we do to conform, to fit in with someone else. And the pressure to conform is often the strongest in our adolescent years. Because our young people want to fit in. They have that low self-esteem, and they desperately want to be accepted and esteemed by others. And advertisers certainly don't help the problem a bit, because they tend to just add to it. It's their way of marketing and selling their products. Do you remember a commercial that came out a few years ago that had this slogan? The wethead is dead. Because it was trying to get you to adopt a certain product. And so in order to do that, they had to convince you, you don't want to look this way. You want to look a certain way. There's a danger, however, in conformity. You see, the danger is that conformity can easily lead us to do things that are wrong. That those young boys that are all in the same car together driving down the road, and suddenly one of them says, "Hey, how fast will this car go? Step on it. Let's see what it'll do." "No, my parents said I don't need to get it over speed limit." "Oh, don't worry about your dad. He's not going to be around to see how fast this car will go. Come on, nobody's going to be watching." Or maybe even worse than that, one of them pops a pill and says, "Here, try this. Boy, you'll get a buzz from this one." And there's the pressure to fit in. There's the pressure to conform. The men at the business luncheon, and everybody is having a drink because drinks are being served. Some of you may know a gentleman that you had here a few years ago, sometime before I came, that used to run a rehab center up in Dixon, Tennessee, and that's how he got started. Business luncheons and alcohol being served, until finally one day he found himself in a gutter. You see, it was the pressure to conform, and others follow suit, and the pressure is just added on, because when you don't conform, what happens? People want to ridicule you. They want to make fun of you because you're not trying to be like everybody else. You're trying to be different. And so they give you that difficult time. And once you give in and you do it, then to conform from then on is much easier. But one of the things that John said is that when we conform to the things of this world, it separates us from God. In 1 John chapter 2, there in verse 15, John says, "Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world." And he tells us why. He says the love of the Father is not in that person. And he begins to explain, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." And he says, "And the world and its works are passing away. But the one who loves the Father, who does the Father's will, that person will live forever." You see, there's a difference. And he tells us that the difference is that if we love the world, if we want to be like the world, we really don't love God, because God and the world are in two different opposite ends. The world is that which is controlled by Satan, and God is opposite of that. And he says, if you love the world, you don't love God. The love of the Father is not in that person. So when we give in to the lust of the flesh, which is our immorality, when we succumb to the lust of the eyes, which is our materialism, when we yield to the pride of life, which is our arrogance, then we stop being like God and we start being like the world. We have conformed. So how do we confront our conformity? How do we deal with it? The Bible calls us to be transformists, not conformists. That's what Paul is saying here in Romans 12. A conformist, as Paul uses it here, is someone that undergoes this superficial, shallow change. It is a person who becomes a cheap imitation, letting others do their thinking for them. You tell me how I'm supposed to dress. You tell me how I'm supposed to walk. You tell me what I'm supposed to drive or how I'm supposed to look or how I'm supposed to think. I'll do whatever you tell me because I want to fit in. I want to be like you. You see, that's what it means to conform. A transformist, however, which is what Paul calls us to be, is someone who undergoes a real change. It's like that ugly caterpillar that crawls in and weaves that cocoon around itself and then after a period of time emerges as a beautiful butterfly. You see, it goes from being one thing to being something else. And that's what transformation is like for those of us who are Christians. We are becoming one thing that's different from what we were. It is something that experiences a true renewal. And that renewal begins with our conversion. In Titus chapter 3, there in verse 5, Paul says that he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in the flesh, but our deeds done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. It is a renewing process, and it begins with our conversion. It involves a changing of our mind, because if you'll notice verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the way we think. And it continues throughout our lifetime. In his letter, 2nd Epistle to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul made the comment there that we do not lose heart. He says, though our outer man is decaying day by day, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. So when we become a transformist, what we really do is address some of the reasons that we conform. And one of those reasons is that we feel insecurity. We're insecure. And yet what God tells us is that He loves us and that we're special. In 1 John chapter 3, John makes the point there in verse 1. He says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And he says, and such we are. John says, I want you to know something. You don't have to feel insecure because if you are a child of God, God loves you. And it doesn't matter if the world loves you or not because God loves you. And if God loves you, everything else doesn't measure up. Because you are in that elite group. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are among those that God loves. And He calls you His own. He calls you His children. And as such, you don't have to give in to the pressure of the world to conform. But it also addresses something else, and it is that desire to follow the crowd. Because we learn that there's an ultimate end to following the crowd. What is it that John says in 1 John chapter 2? If you look down at verse 17, he says, the world and its lust are what? They are passing away. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be dealt with. But the one who loves God, that person abides forever. And what did Jesus say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You see, if we transform, then we don't have to worry about insecurity. We're not worried about what everyone else is doing. And we've heard it. Every parent in this room has heard it at least one time in raising your kids. But everybody is doing it. Well, we're not everybody. we're not everybody. We're God's people. And because we're God's people, we do things differently around here. We do things the way God wants us to do. And so the challenge for us this morning, and the challenge for us every day of our lives, is not to be followers, it's to be leaders. It's to be those who are transformed, because a transformer is a leader. And if you look back at what Paul says there in Romans chapter 2, or actually in chapter 12, verse 2, he says that we are to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so when we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind, following our conversion and living it out on a daily basis, what we are doing to everyone else in the world is saying, this is God's will. This is what's good. This is what's acceptable. This is what's perfect. And what are we doing? We are presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. Because we are, through our lives, saying, this is who I am and this is how I honor God with my life. A person who is a transformist, who is transformed in their thinking, is a person who has the courage to stand up and say no to things that are wrong. Young people, it's okay to say no. It's okay to tell your friends, I'm not going to do that, regardless of what they say to you. And to know that you have a family here that is going to stand by you and going to encourage you and going to say, we're proud of you because you are doing what God wants you to do. You are living the way God wants you to live. But as we transform, as we become leaders and not followers, we also help other people fight off the pressures to conform. Because what we do is we give strength to other people so that they can say no. Let me take you back some 3,400 years to a place in the newly settled Promised Land, between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And Joshua is there, and it's at the end of his life. And as he is addressing the leaders of Israel, he calls out to them, and it's recorded for us in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, and he says this, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." But then he said this, "But if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell." But then I want you to hear what Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, men, how many of you will stand up before your kids and before your wife and say that? And say that to the people you work with. "As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to do God's will in this house. We're going to honor Him with our lives." And stand by that decision. And don't let anybody push you any other way. Let me tell you what happened as a result of that statement. When you go to Judges chapter 2, verse 7, at least for the time that Joshua and those who served with him lived there, we find this to be true. Judges records, "The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen the great work of the Lord which He had done in Israel." You see, they served God. Folks, a conformist is just a simple follower. A conformist is someone that lets other people do their thinking for them. A conformist is someone that lets others lead them into harm's way. And that's not what you want. I don't think that's what you want today. I think you want to be someone that is transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every single one of us in this room, and everyone that's listening on the radio today, and everyone that will watch this televised, has at one point or other experienced the pressure to conform to the standards and practices of the world, especially the young people who are so impressionable in their lives. But even those of us who are older have at times been persuaded by those who are in positions of power and influence. We have a choice. we can either buckle under and we can be led by those who are destroying our bodies and our minds and ultimately our souls, or we can look to Jesus, who is the true nonconformist, and we can allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If we are going to conform to anything, what we need to conform to is the image of Christ. Because Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, said that God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. That's who, if we're going to conform to anything, we need to conform to, the image of God's dear Son. And for that, it will require a transformation of the inner man, changing who we are from the inside out. And then we, God's people, can demonstrate to everybody else in this world, to everybody else in this community, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My question to you today is simply this. Are you conformed or are you transformed? Are you letting others dictate to you how you're going to live your life? Are you allowing them to put enough pressure on you so that you give in to their way of thinking? Or are you today going to say, enough, I am going to follow my Savior, my Lord. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to do His will. I'm going to follow Him all the days of my life. I'm going to put Him on today to demonstrate that in baptism by confessing His name before this body of Christians, repenting of sin, and living for Him all the days of my life. And if you're a Christian who has been pushed once again to conform to the world and you've given into that, then why not today say no more and ask God to forgive you for that period of time and help you to begin living for Him. If you need to respond to His invitation,